Hello everyone and welcome. Today is August the 21st, 2019 and you are at the Whole Life Healing Program with Dr. Alex Lloyd. He shares each week one of his secret spiritual laws of nature. My name is Johanna Chan. I'll be working behind the scenes while Alex shares, and also in the last half of our call, I'll open the lines for anyone who would like to receive a custom trilogy or a custom healing code. Okay, before we hear from Alex, I want to share this disclaimer. This presentation is for education and informational purposes only. And since we're going to be talking about issues of health and well-being, we wanted to make sure that you understand this information is not intended to heal or cure anything. Everything in the presentation are the opinions of Alex Lloyd or myself, Johanna Chan. You should always check with a licensed healthcare provider about any specific health concerns you may have. And we also love to share this quote as well each week. It says, "We are beginning now to understand things that we know in our hearts are true but could never measure. As we get a better understanding how little we know about the body, we begin to realize the next big frontier in medicine is energy medicine. It's not the mechanistic parts of the joints moving. It's not the chemistry of our body. It's understanding for the first time how energy influences how we feel." And that was a quote by Dr. Oz back in November 2007. And the reason we bring it up is that the purpose of these calls is to provide current and relevant information on the subject of energy medicine from a variety of perspectives, including a medical, a scientific, and mostly spiritual perspective. So, having shared that, I am going to be bringing Alex out today, but it is a replay. So this is a program that he shared actually not too long ago, but we wanted to share it again, and I'm looking for it, so just a moment. Alex is not available today, so he asked if we could choose a previous message, and I'm looking for it right now. I'm sorry for this delay. Just a moment. Okay, hold on. I'm so sorry. I've got several areas that aren't quite working today. Sometimes we have problems with this. Okay, it's called "Are You Afraid of Happiness?" And here's Alex.
Are you scared of happiness? You know, about 80% of people that I have worked with for the last 30 years have one of the two issues that we're going to kind of talk about today. And it's so interesting to me, because historically, the polls, as they've done Gallup polls and all sorts of things like that, when they ask people, what do you want more than anything else, the number one answer has been happiness, okay? And one of the reasons that's so fascinating to me is because if you've read my book or if you've heard me talk a whole lot on this program, you know that when I've asked people over the last 25 years the genie question, you know, if you had Aladdin's genie in front of you right now and you had one wish, what would it be? And over 99% of people do not say happiness. They say a physical or external circumstance. They say money or an achievement or a health problem to heal, or whatever. And so it's interesting that you have those two kind of extremes. If you ask the question one way, you know, what do you want more than anything in your life, you get one answer. But if you frame it in an actual analogy situation in your life and say, okay, imagine you had one wish, what would you wish? It's something very different. And the reason is because people feel, it is true that what everyone wants more than anything else is happiness. But we've believed a lie that's one of the biggest lies on planet Earth since the dawn of time. That is, I have to have something external to purchase that happiness for me. It can't happen just between me and God. It can't happen just between me and the people that I love. It can't just happen internal to me in my heart, spirit, soul, and mind. I have to have something external, which is a lie from the pit, and one of the, maybe the number one lie of all time, but it's certainly up there probably in the top 10 or even the top 5. Okay, so that phenomenon has a great deal to do with the spiritual law of nature for today. Are you afraid of happiness? All right? If that's what everybody wants, since they started asking that question, at least more than any other one thing, are you actually afraid of that? And is the fear of happiness affecting your ability to actually be happy? Okay? Well, let's take a look at that. I'm going to phrase that just a little different way than the title. Is your heart scared of happiness? Now, the title of the spiritual law, are you afraid of happiness? But let's go deeper and ask, is your heart afraid of happiness? Okay? Because of the success of the healing codes, I've been able to work with entertainment stars. I also live in Nashville, Tennessee, which is called the Third Coast, California, New York, and then Nashville. One of the biggest recording and entertainment hubs in the world, not today, not just of country music, but of all kinds of music. And because of that, I've been able to work with a few of those people. I've worked with some professional athletes. I've worked with number one top authors, number one top academians, number one type medical doctors in the world. Dr. Doris Rapp is a good friend of mine, is considered worldwide to be the number one pioneer in children's environmental medicine, has a list of humanitarian awards and honors as long as your arm. Okay, and I've noticed an interesting thing, especially when it comes to like entertainers. Okay, people who are usually ridiculously wealthy, so, in a way that you and I can't even really relate to. Okay, it seems that most entertainers that I've worked with, or people in that sort of category, are either afraid of success or afraid of failure. All right? Maybe they are kind of shy and they feel like I don't speak well and I'm not real good in front of people and I don't like interviews and all the flash bulbs in my face. They're uncomfortable with that. It doesn't come natural to them. They feel like they're not good at it. Or maybe they feel like they have self-worth issues that maybe have nothing to do with their talent or music, okay? And so a person naturally who has those kind of issues, unconsciously, when that spotlight shines on them, to them, they're concerned that people are going to see that they're really not a very good person. Now, most people really can't see that. I mean, you can't see down in the spiritual heart and the unconscious mind from the outside. At least most people can't. But unconsciously, they're still afraid of that. That if I get out there in the spotlight, people are going to realize that I'm not a good person, that I don't measure up, okay? And so whether unconsciously or consciously, they have a fear of success. Because if I have a hit record or if I, you know, do this or do that or accomplish this or that, how's that light shining on me going to change my life? And they may be very uncomfortable with that to the degree that they sabotage their success or career. Maybe not completely, but maybe here and there. All right. My throat. I can't sing. My throat isn't good. Or they go out on tour and they're sick almost the whole time. And maybe they even make it and do pretty good performances, but behind the scenes, they become kind of self-destructive. Well, unconsciously, they're trying to get off the stage. They're trying to get out of the spotlight, okay, because they're not comfortable with it because of their internal unhealed junk. On the other hand, there's people in that category that have a fear of failure, and I've probably worked with even more of them, and they tend to be absolutely paranoid that they're never going to have another number one hit. They're never going to have another platinum record, that their voice is going to give out, and all of a sudden they won't be in the spotlight anymore, and that sort of thing. And their worry and fear about that tends to cause it to happen. So those people tend to be always fighting voice problems, or they're having constant facelifts or tummy tucks or dyeing their hair or whatever. And I'm not saying any of those things are wrong. It's not what you do sometimes. It's why you do it. But a lot of them have a tendency to do that out of a fear of failure, out of a fear of, oh, my goodness, I'm going to lose my spot. I've gotten to this good place. And or they'll compare themselves to someone, maybe they're incredibly wealthy and extremely successful, but they constantly compare themselves to someone who's more successful and feel still like a failure, even though to every one of us it would be, my goodness, that's just incredibly successful. Okay, so about 80% of people that I've worked with and seen over the years, including me, by the way, have one of those issues, or maybe even both, in different ways at different times and about different issues. So let's take a look at that. Is your heart scared of success? Number one, what will you have to do? What you will have to do if your heart's afraid of success, this could be one of the issues. Number one, what you will have to do to be happy violates your pain pleasure programming. And that could be a million things. I remember early in our marriage, with Hope, there was a period of time that I got a license to sell insurance. And so I went through school and I went through a training program and all that sort of thing. And I had a good friend who said, Alex, your personality fits this and we've got the best product on the market, which I found out later was not true, to the degree that I had to go back and apologize to people that I had sold policies to. But anyway, he said, we've got the best product on the market, and this can be a great thing for your clients, a great thing for you, a good source of income, all that sort of thing. Well, one of the things I ran into when I started that is that one of the things they taught you was you need to make 10 sales calls every day, and it's simply a matter of math. For every 10 that you make, you'll have one or two sales. Now, that also means you're going to have 8 or 9 rejections, okay? So get ready for that, and they tried to sort of prepare me for that. But you'll also have 1 or 2 sales, and so at the end of the week, if you've made your 10 calls a day, you've made 10 sales that week, and that's a great week. And if you keep doing that, you're going to have this wonderful income and all that sort of thing. Well, I tried that for a few days, and I've got to tell you, back in my 20s, the 8 to 9 rejections a day just absolutely flattened me. It tidal waved me. I was bummed all the time when I was trying to do that. And so guess what? I made up reasons. I rationalized and made up reasons as to why I could not make all 10 of those calls today, or at the end of the day when talking to Hope, that I had not made the calls that day, and it was extraordinary circumstances, and I would make them tomorrow. Of course, you know the story. Something comes up again tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day. And finally, I can't make a sales call to save my life, all right? Why? Because the rejection was totally against my pain pleasure programming. It was extremely painful, okay? So unconsciously, now if I'd really thought about it, I think I would have figured out, you know, this is an unconscious thing, but you know, sometimes you rationalize to the degree that you start believing your own rationalization. And I think that happened a little bit with me too. And so you make a decision, usually if that's the deal, that you'll have to do something to be happy that violates your pain pleasure programming, you make a decision, you know what? I'm okay where I am. I'm okay with this pain or this little bit lack of pleasure, because what I would have to do to be happy would increase the pain, at least for a period of time, or take away even more pleasure for a period of time. So I'm okay where I am, even though you know this is really not where I want to be. Number two, getting happiness and losing it would make my pain pleasure worse. Okay? So this is looking into the future, and this happens a lot of times unconsciously too. And, you know, you say, okay, let's say I make the 10 calls a day, and I do it for a week and 2 weeks and a month and 2 months and 3 months, and I make all this money and Hope and I are really jumping up and down and happy and I feel like I'm doing something good for my clients and all that, but then I run out of friends, okay? Because the first thing you do is go to your friends, right? Most of the people that I was in school with who went into insurance used the yearbook as their client list. And so they'd just go start with A and go down the yearbook and start calling everybody they had known and try to sell them, okay? Well, number two is you in advance, before you ever even try it or do what you need to do, you say, okay, but wait a minute, what happens if I'm successful but then I run out of friends? Or with the entertainers I've worked with who aren't good in the public spotlight, this is where this one would apply too. What happens if I'm successful and then I'm expected to do all these interviews and everything? In other words, something about the achieving the happiness and then losing it for some reason would hurt worse than not having ever gotten it in the first place. So what do? You self-sabotage. So that for some reason I've decided it's better for me to just sit on the couch or stay where I am. Number three, and this one sometimes is the biggest one, okay? And this is the one that I struggled with probably the most in my life. Doing your absolute best and still not achieving happiness takes away your excuses and your self-worth. Doing your absolute best to be happy, to do the things you feel like you need to do to be happy, and then your best isn't good enough, takes away your excuse. And by taking away your excuse, it tends to demolish your self-worth. Why? Oh, it's easy. If, you know, I never, let's go back to the life insurance thing and say, okay, that never worked for me. And maybe the rest of my life, I never did anything really successful. But that whole time, I kind of think to myself, and maybe even I say to Hope and some others, you know, I could have done that if I really had wanted to. I could have made those 10 sales calls if I really thought that had been right for me and I really wanted to. And if I had done that, I know I would have been one of the people that would have been successful because I'm good at talking to people and people like me and, you know, that sort of thing. And so that sort of a thing that makes me feel better about me, even though I never got to where I felt like I was supposed to get, and maybe I never really even tried. So that's another self-sabotage thing that happens that keeps us from really being able to live our life and go out and do our best. We decide that there's a risk that my best won't be good enough, so I'm better off where I am with an excuse that doesn't have as much negative effect on my self-worth. And a fear of unhappiness. We started with a fear of happiness in your heart. Do you have a fear of unhappiness in your heart? All right? And that can do similar things. And let's look at those. Number one, perfectionism. I have to do everything right in order to be happy or successful in life. And failure to do that, failure to do everything right, would mean I'm not going to be successful, I'm not going to be happy, and it would be devastating. And so when I do the pluses and minuses and division on that, it means that to not do things perfectly is devastating on a daily basis. Well, guess what? The perfectionism itself is the thing that's devastating. The other is a rationalization that was never true. This can lead to workaholism and just all kinds of stress and failure. Number two, doing your best and still being unhappy takes away your excuse. If I had only done my best, I would have been successful, and then this blows away your self-worth and identity. This is the same as number three on if your heart is scared of happiness, but this one is if your heart is scared of unhappiness. So you have exactly the same issue that if I do my best and it doesn't work, oh, boy, then I'm in even bigger trouble because now I don't have my excuse anymore, not only for other people but for myself. I can't even tell myself anymore if I had done my best, I could have done it. Both of these, fear of happiness and fear of unhappiness, are expectation and willpower. You had the wrong goal in the first place. And the goal was that if I do this to achieve this, well, that's the wrong goal. The wrong goal, the right goal is always just doing the best I can, messing up all the time, but doing the best I can in the present moment to live and do whatever I'm doing for the next 30 minutes in love, giving up the end result. The end result's not my gig. Yeah, I have things that are desires, hopes, prayers that I would love to see happen, I think. I think that would be good for me. I think I would be really happy if that occurred, okay? But when I look back on my life, I know there have been things that I thought were bad at the time that now I know were really good. So is that also true of some things I'm thinking would make me happy in the future? That really, maybe, the thing that I think would make me unhappy in the future might be the thing that makes me happy, and the thing that I think might make me happy in the future might actually make me unhappy when I get there. Because those are issues of the heart, all of them. And only God really knows the truth about that stuff. So my job is to act in faith, hope, trust, and belief, not in unhealthy control to try to manipulate a certain end result, but to act in faith, hope, trust, belief, to do the best I can to live in love in the present moment and give up the end result. The old expression, it's better to have loved and lost than never to have loved before. That is only true if you're coming from a place of true de facto love. If you're coming from what's in it for me business deal love, that's not true. It's not better to have loved and lost. It's not better to have done anything and lost. If you're living in pain, pleasure, what's in it for me selfishness, losing, however you're defining that, is the thing that I'm terrified of in my heart, okay? If you are living in de facto love, real love, true love, unselfish love, then the statement really is it's better to have loved and lost, dot, 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 dot. No matter what the conclusion of that is, it's always better to have loved, whether you won or lost, and no matter what the end result conclusion. This will also lead, if you live in the present in faith, rather than in the future or past in unhealthy control, trying to manipulate results, if you live in the present in love and faith, that will also lead to peak performance that you never would have even been able to do any other way, and more success. Both of the fears, the fear of success, the fear of failure, the fear of happiness, the fear of unhappiness, will lead to stress and inhibit positive, healthy peak performance. So this week, as you sit by your tree, or take a walk, or whatever you do to pray or meditate, ask yourself, am I afraid of success? Am I afraid of failure? Am I afraid of happiness? Am I afraid of unhappiness? Because of my pain pleasure programming. Well, if you do, that's okay, because about 80% of people have been or are, including me. So pray about it, heal it, and say, you know what? I may be successful. I may fail, at least fail by the world standards. But happiness comes from living in the present, in love, in faith, out of an inward state of love, plugged into God, the source of love. That's where happiness comes from. So if I do that, there's no other option except happiness, love, joy, and peace. Unhappiness will never happen over time if I'm living in the present in love, out of an inward state of love, in faith, hope, trust, belief, giving up the end result, in right relationship with God. That is a happiness only. Love, joy, peace only. Doesn't mean bad things won't happen. They will. Doesn't mean pain won't happen. It will. And sometimes more. But a joy, a happiness in the form of joy that is there regardless of the pain, regardless of your external circumstances, and with the accompanying peace and success. So think about that this week. Evaluate where you are. If you're afraid of happiness, success, success, failure, pray, get the tools out, and make a commitment, you know? No matter what the end result is, I'm going to start living not in fear of these things, but in love in the present.
All right. So, again, evidently the issues were on my end with with the internet, and so I apologize for that interruption. I was able to get back on the internet, and I found all of you were still, many of you were still here, and the recording was playing away. So thank you for that. Because of my internet issues right now, though, my husband is checking out what the problem is. It does go in and out, and so we are going to skip the part, the second part of the call today. Please come back next week. Alex will be here, and we appreciate all of you being here. God bless.